Hi, everybody. Welcome back to our podcast, The Ins and Outs of Selling a Business. So as investment bankers, we get asked a specific question all the time. In fact, you know, business owners, whether they're selling or not, are always thinking about it and asking themselves the same question. Interesting thing about this question is that there's no one answer to it. And then things can change when you think you got to figure it out. So what ends up happening is that it's a moving target. And our job as investment bankers is to kind of work with our clients to come up with an answer to this question that they're comfortable with. So what is this question? So the question is, what's the value of my business? Right? You're selling your company. The first thing you want to know is, what's it worth? And we spend a lot of time with our clients. It's our investment in our business about, you know, coming up with a evaluation that we both agree on, like of like minds, right? We always talk about that we're both in the same ballpark. And there's a number of ways of getting to this question or getting the answer to valuation. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, things could change that affect that answer, right? Timing, you know, could be the market, could be uncertainty of the market, raising interest rates, geopolitical, everything kind of factors into this question. So, and there's many, many methods of valuing companies for very specific purposes, not just for selling a company. So today we're really fortunate to have one of our Osage team members, Jerry Fittipaldi, with us. Jerry, welcome.
Thank you, Keith. Happy to be here.
So Jerry, I was just, you know, looking at your bio on our website, and you know, you have about half the alphabet passed after your name, you know, with all your credentials and your awards and designations regarding business valuation, real estate appraisal. And I think before we get into this subject, I think it'd be beneficial for our audience if you spend a few minutes just talking about your background.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, so my history is basically in real estate, commercial real estate, and business valuations. After I graduated from the University of Connecticut with a degree in finance, I started right away in the valuation industry. About 12 years ago or so, 13 years ago now, started what would become a national valuation company. A lot of fun building that, a lot of work. We took it from about 19 companies up to 80 offices throughout the U.S. And during that time, I was the chair of the board of directors. So I've seen a lot. I've done a lot of valuations, business valuations, and real estate valuations throughout the U.S. I resigned from that position, and I've joined the Osage team. So
we're looking
that was about a 10. Thank you. Thank you. I'm happy to be here with you.
So I want to get into your how you built your business, you know, at a future episode. But today, you know, let's, you know, because it is the question, right? It is, you know, what's the number? Right. And it's a moving target. And our job is to get a, you know, through our process is to get a number that works for our client that's within market. And it's interesting how it's not just us providing a number, us coming up with a number. It's how the buyer perceives that number and how they come up with their number. As you know, we've talked about this, we've done this, is that no two bids are alike, no two offers are alike, and the price is always different. So from your perspective before joining Osage, when you like got brought in, you know, what are some of the reasons outside, say, a business valuation for selling? What are some reasons that is important to get a valuation for a business owner and their families?
Well, I think one of the most important reasons is for, you know, planning, especially a lot of small businesses that grow over time. That you need to have a lot of planning. You know, there's all kinds of life events that can happen. There can be disputes, divorce, sale. You can tax planning, and it's just good to have a good plan in place. And we can talk about this a little more, but to really know the value of the company, that's kind of the first start point.
Right. And I think, from your perspective is you're looking at it and you have, everybody's, when you start your partnership, everybody's happy and everybody's great. Everybody has the same goals and objectives. And then, you're 10, 15 years, you may have an older partner, a younger partner, or someone may bring in a family member that wants to be part of the business and they want to share equity and all that kind of stuff, which is normal. It's part of a family business growing, right? So, but as you, at some point in time, maybe their goals change, right? One partner says, "Hey, I think I'm done. I want you to buy me out, or we need to sell." And the other partner's like, "I really don't want to sell. I got three kids in the business now, and I want to grow another 5 years and then maybe sell. So I'm ready to buy you out." And the question is, okay, what's the number, right? What's the price? So to your point, I'm sure you've been involved with some of this is, having that plan you're talking about, having that valuation, and updating it yearly so everybody's communicating, understanding, and agreeing is critical because it could cause some very tense emotions among, partners who have had a long history of working together. So maybe
Right,
you can
exactly.
talk a little bit about how you get involved in that aspect and how you navigate some of the nuances because they may not agree with your valuation, right? They may say, "Well, I don't necessarily agree with that," even though you have all the credentials and expertise and you've gone to, and come up with it. How do you navigate, how did you navigate a lot of that with the family? Because it's very important to our audience to understand, what goes into this.
Well, yeah, and it's evaluation is good for a certain time period. It always changes because things change all the time. So it is important to get it updated all the time. But going through with an owner and explaining to them, why we think this, here's, first thing we do is we look at the history of the business. What do you do? What's the legal structure? What are your products and services? How do you market? What's your distribution? Is it local, regional, or national? And then who's your competition? And then operations. This is kind of where it gets interesting because some companies are very well organized. And I found that the more organized your company is with, the correct documents, like a buy-sell agreement, things of that nature, lots of good employee manuals, operations manuals, training, seem it's easier to value like that when you have that stuff in place. So we look at that stuff, but then it gets into, okay, you've got, there are things that can affect a business that have nothing to do with the business.
Right. Like
The
example would
economy,
be, right.
I have an example of manufacturing company. They were so stable. They had very good stable income, nice growth, very good, suppliers and distribution. And then COVID happened.
Right.
So now we're looking at the company and their income dropped. Why? Not because of them, but because they couldn't get the supply issues. They have a supply side issue. So now we have to
Because
sit
you're
there
linked
and
to the
say,
customer,
okay,
yeah.
how long is this going to take to correct itself? So I think the big thing is, not just throwing out a number, but explaining why. And under that case, you would do a, an income approach, a sell out, a discounted cash flow.
Right.
Explain to them, we think it's going to take this much time to get the revenues back up, to get the supply. And, time is money. So, just explaining things, the forecast, I think that, explaining things helps people understand. Because a lot of people, I found don't understand all that.
Well, it's interesting, because the questions you're asking when you're doing a business evaluation for, for estate planning purposes, for a buy-sell agreement, God forbid, a divorce situation, or someone dies, right? you know, that you're preparing. So those kind of questions are kind of questions that we're asking all the time. So even though we're not valuing the business, we want to know, you know, what are your customer base like? You know, was there any concentration? You know, who handles these apps? You know, what are your systems in place? Who's in charge of financials? Who's in charge of sales? Who runs the floor? You know, how do you document all this? You know, that goes to that underlying value that buyers look at, right? You can, so you look, valuations. You can look at, you know, market cap, right? Market value. Right? So you just public companies, very easy. Take the, you know, price per share times the shares outstanding, and the company's worth $8 billion, you know, in the market today. Although someone may pay more because there's underlying things they have that the buyer wants, and they're willing to pay a premium, right? Or it could be there's things that are in an old industry that's slowing that people will pay below that. And you could look at maybe a multiple revenue. You could look at maybe a multiple, most common is a multiple of EBITDA, multiple profits. So if you have a company doing 2 million of adjusted profits, so it's going to trade at a, you know, 6 times that or 8 times that. So what's that, 12 to 16 million? As you said, discounted cash flow. Look at the book value, the asset value. And you can look at liquidation if the company's in trouble. What can I get if I sell off in a forced sale type of thing? But when you get the business owner, when you get the buyers coming to the table, you know, and they say, "Hey, we're willing to pay X based on, you know, what we've seen, right? Your numbers and talking to Osage and answering a lot of these questions." You know, what's up happening is when they get to that final offer, sometimes after they meet with management and they realize some of the questions you're asking, they're not overly satisfied with the answer, so it raises their skepticism about what I need to bring more resources in to do these things. They factor that into it. Even though on paper it's worth 12 million, the buyer looks at, I need to bring in X, Y, and Z to, you know, it's going to cost me $500,000 with these couple additional people. They'll discount that and say, it's now to me, it's only worth 10 million. And so get the
Right,
buyer to,
right.
right? Right?
Yeah,
So.
so you're looking at what's the earning capacity of the company, the ability to grow, how long is it going to take? What are the industries saying? What are the trends? Is this a good company based on the industry it's in and of itself? But the great thing about working with Osage is, you know, we could put a number on something. We could say what we think the market value is. The market value is, you know, what a probable buyer and seller would agree to.
Right.
But when we go to the auction with Osage, it's interesting because there are all kinds of buyers. There are strategic buyers who may be willing to pay a lot more than what we would say is market value because they're going to have an added benefit to adding this business to their company, or having a new division or something like that. So it's interesting. There's, you know, this price and there's value.
Right.
So one of the things I love working with Osage is that we have this process where we don't just say, you know, we go through it with the sellers, but we put it out there, and then, you know, there's always possibly a price that somebody's willing to pay because it's going to benefit them in some unusual way. And then, you know, there's market value, which tends to be around a central tendency.
Yeah,
So
you know, it's interesting you say that. That's a great point because, you know, I don't talk about it enough, maybe, and that, you know, our job is to understand what's motivating our client, what their goals and objectives are, and then, you know, give them options, right? And the value proposition is there's the business value and then there's the overall value. And I think you hit right on it there is that a lot of our clients don't take the highest price because when you formulate value, a family closed sale business, and you see it all the time. You know, when you're working with, you know, over your distinguished career with your business, you know, is that, you know, there's other factors that are really important. So the value really is, of course, you know, the price, but also, you know, is it a good fit, right? Is it a good fit? Is this the kind of buyer I want to take over my family business that we've built for, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years or more? You know, are they going to take care of my employees? Are they gonna, do they buy into our culture? You know, the people who got us there are the people who are gonna take this to the next level, and I wanna make sure they have a future as a business owner. And 99.9% of our clients, that's key, right? And I think you hit right on it. And the fact that a number of things come into value from an owner. And when they think about a number, you know, my business is worth X. Well, how do you know that? Why, where'd you come up with that? Well, my neighbor's just sold his company for that. I think we're the same thing. But the fact is they're in a whole different industry and a whole different market and a whole different this. You can't, it's apples and oranges, right? So our job, your job as a team is to understand and be, you know, get to like minds, right? You know, we put a lot of effort and time up front. The kind of work you did from, you know, from your evaluation where you're signing your name to it that they could use for estate planning or buy sells or divorces or whatever, you know, that's a document that, you know, the legal community, the banks, IRS rely on. But for us, value is really is to get a sense of what's important to our clients and then say, look, we think based on the current market, our 23 years in business, our process, that the value is going to come between X and Y. Right? Mm-hmm. That's where we think the market is, a market valuation. So I think you really hit on it. And as you said, but one thing, we don't provide any value guidance, right? Owners want to know what the company is worth, but the buyers also want to know what the company is worth. So the one of the first questions, right, they want to know is, will you provide us any value guidance?
Right. And you know what? It's a lot of companies, you know, they, you know, we really have to study the intangibles. You know, you have good contracts, you got a good licenses, you got trademarks, you know, you might have a favorable lease on a property, customer loyalty, you know, things like that. And your personnel, you have good employees that have been there a long time, that's, you know, very valuable. So these are all the things we try to look at, because, you know, a buyer is going to look at that. Seller's going to look at it because they've built the company, and a buyer's going to look at it because they, that's what they want to buy. They want to buy something, you know,
and
that's operating.
You're talking about factor into the kind of buyers that we bring to the table, because at the end of the day, there's, you know, you got to check the boxes. You know, our clients should be checking boxes, preparing for sale, making sure that they got, you know, you can, you just went through the whole list, right? Financials, operations, sales and marketing, personnel, you know, intangibles. I mean, the cleanliness of your plant. I mean, you know, people say, well, we walk plants all the time, like manufacturing. And it's like, you can literally tell right off the bat, you know, how the team's working based on when you walk in the front door. Is this a clean run business or not? And if there's a bunch of, you know, chips on the floor and it's dirty and low lighting and you're like, it's not going to present well, right? Mm-hmm. Or if you walk in, it's well lighted, everything is spotless, clean, painted, the whole thing. You know, people can say, well, these guys really take a lot of pride and making sure that they're providing a great work environment for their employees, right? It's perception.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, and, you know, you know, and what's your, a lot of it is, you know, especially today, technology. Are you keeping up with technology? That's a big one, because technology is going exponential. And you need to make sure you keep up with that, as well as, you know, FF&E, your equipment. You know, do you need to replace your equipment, you know, over the next several years? How much is that going to be? All of these things you need to make sure you account for, because certainly a buyer is going to account for that. And you've mentioned that, but you know, there's all kinds of issues that you got to consider, you know, competition, or is this a business that doesn't have a lot of competition, or is it very hard to get into this industry? Are your products,
right, what's the capital requirement to, like, I mean, barriers of entry, right? I mean, that's a value, yes. That's a value driver. Because if you're in a business that's that you just can't open a door next door and say, okay, I'm in business, you need to make a significant capital investment in time and money and materials. I mean, I can give an example. We sold a company several years ago, Standard Knapp. It's a packaging company in Portland, Connecticut. Again, there's a business that's been around since 1908, I think. Or three, it's turn of the century, right? And The buyer ended up being a European packaging company that's owned by a Swiss private equity fund. And they wanted to get into the US market, but they had no presence. So if they wanted to, in order to do that, they would have to make a huge capital investment and find people and hire, set up a whole distribution, you know, spare parts network, you know, repair network, you name it. And it would take them years to do that. Years. It just so happens that we were in market with Standard Knapp, and we checked off all the boxes, right? And so we got one of the longest standing packaging companies in the world, you know, and based with a huge US presence and brand, and the owners are ready to make a change. And they came in with, you know, they were the best buyer. They weren't the highest price. They were the best buyer because they wanted to be here in Connecticut, in this case, Portland, Connecticut, and then put money into this plant and grow it. So the value was there because they realized we could be in market in the US in a matter of months by this acquisition.
Right, so, exactly. You know, that's a strategic move.
So, yes. You know, I want to, you know, we can talk about this forever, right? Because, I mean, I think it's a question. It's a moving target all the time. Like you said, COVID, prior to COVID, if you sold your company on March 1st, you were very fortunate. If you waited a couple of weeks, you got delayed. All of a sudden, the value dropped to precipitously because, you know, no one knew what was going to happen over the next 9 months, right? Through the pandemic, and people weren't buying. It was like everything froze. So, you know, before we kind of wrap up, is there anything you want to just kind of touch on the value from your background and valuations that you want to share with the our audience at this point? Love to hear about that.
Okay, sure. I think, you know, when valuing a company and looking at all these different issues, which we do, we try to be very detailed to help the business owner. I think technology is really big. Make sure you're keeping up with technology. I see a lot of companies, you know, I do a lot of work for, you know, estate work for the IRS. So it's an after the fact issue. And sometimes we'll go in and we'll see, boy, they should have done this or they should have done that.
Right.
As far as like planning, you know, sometimes there's not good agreements in place, you know, there's not a buy sell agreement, and especially if you have a partner. And then that makes a problem with the families and, you know, transitioning it.
God forbid the partner passes, again, there's an incident, the partner passes away, there's no buy sell agreement in place, and then it becomes an expensive endeavor for both parties. You're trying
exactly
to get your family right, but their value expectations could be way out of line with what the market is. So, I mean, I guess, you know, the takeaway here is that, you know, as you said, planning, right? Invest in planning your business on all aspects and keeping up to date, which is important, from an internal valuation that you and your family and your partners are, you know, in sync with. Because if there is a life event, you know, this will be a document that will relieve a lot of stress in people's life, and also be a roadmap for when they engage or looking to sell, that we can look at from Osage perspective as part of our calculation of what the current market value is. So Jerry, you know, you touched on it at the beginning you touched on it at the beginning about your career and how you built this phenomenal nationwide business. And I think, you know, being an entrepreneur that has built a business, I think it'd be great if you come back. We just kind of talk about that aspect of your career, because I think it's fascinating and, you know, it's incredible what you were able to achieve. And I think it'd be great for the audience to hear about your background, because they can relate to that as business owners, you know, building a company. So we'd love to have you back and talk about that. And
yes, I'd love to. Thank you, Keith. I'd love to.
All right, Jerry, I appreciate it. We'll have you back for our next episode. And I want to thank everybody for being here today. Again, my name is Keith D. Our podcast, Ins and Outs of Selling a Business. If you enjoy it, you can subscribe on our YouTube channel. If you have any questions related to valuation or anything else regarding selling your company, you know, feel free to visit our website at osageadvisors.com. You could shoot me an email at kdee@osageadvisors.com, or feel free to pick up the phone and give me a call at 860-767-3273, extension 1001. Thanks again for being here, and have a great day.